God be in my heart, God be in my mouth, God be in my hands. You know, we want God to fill our hearts with His truth. We want God's Scripture to be in our hands so we can live out that truth. And we want the words we speak to be the very words of God. And that's why we come to study the Scriptures. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is God's word which equips us to serve Him in the kingdom. And so that's what we come here today to do, to hear God's word. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we come. We come humbled, and we become humble. Father, we know we're not perfect because we're in a church. We know we don't have life figured out because we can sing songs. Lord, we know that we are broken. We know that we are not perfect, but we know You through Your Son who loves us unconditionally, who died for our sins. So Father, as we come here today, let this not just be an exercise in routine or religion, but Lord, help it be an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with You. Help us to know You better. Help us to know ourselves better. Help us to know, Lord, how You've called us to live and what You have called us to live for. Father, we know that Your word is perfect. And the one who speaks it, the messenger, Lord, You know I am so far from perfect. So, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would speak to us all this morning and that we would know, hear, and respond to Your truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Very smooth. No one saw. Very smooth. No. Very smooth. I can't remember. It might have been Home Depot or Lowe's. I was in there probably about a month or so ago. I had to go pick something up because, you know, I'm so manly and I'm always building things. I think it was probably light bulbs. And there were Christmas decorations everywhere like a month ago. I mean, I was like, a month ago, I could not believe, it just seems to be getting earlier and earlier and earlier. And so you see all the Christmas decorations, but something else you sometimes see is help wanted, seasonal help wanted. And I think that's great that people can kind of pick up a second job, or maybe it's a first job, and they can find a little bit of work. And as I looked at that sign, it took me back to some of the jobs I used to have when I was younger. And some of them were really, really good, and some of them were really, really not good in a lot of ways. Like, I remember one of my first jobs, I was kind of on the front lines. I worked at Perkins Pancake House, and I was a busboy. And so it was my job to go after everybody was done eating, to pick up all the plates and, you know, and wipe off the table and refill all the salt and the pepper and everything. And so I did this a lot. I worked a lot of hours, and I learned a lot about working on the front lines and what you have to do. And I also learned a lot about my mother, because when I would come home, my mother so did not like the smell of syrup on my clothes that she made me take off my clothes in our carport. Okay? And so I had to take them off, and then I had to do it quickly, run in the house and throw them in the washer, because my mom did not like the smell of syrup. So I learned a lot. I'm going to get a call on this, by the way, just so you know. So I worked at Perkins for a while, but then I had to move on. And then I kind of worked an upfront job. I worked at Haas's Steak and Seafood House, if you've ever heard of that. And I'm not bragging, but I did break some barriers, okay, there. I was a trendsetter. I wasn't a cook. I wasn't a waiter. I wasn't a busboy. I was the first male host at Haas's Steak and Seafood House ever in my town. So you probably have read about it at some point, okay? I was breaking barriers, so I was up front. I had to deal with people, had to show them where the table was, I had to circle what table they were on. I mean, really heavy, heavy duty stuff here. So I learned to kind of work up front. So I did that for a while, and then I went away to college. And then when you come home from college, you know, you want to try to make a little bit of money. And somebody said they're hiring down at the bakery at the local grocery store. So I went down to check it out, and this guy, I can't remember his name, had to be the greatest salesman ever. He said, look, he says, this is a great job. He says, you can be done by 1 o'clock every day. 1 in the afternoon, you've got the whole afternoon free. You can hang out with your friends. You can go out at night. He says, it's awesome. It's a kind of a behind the scenes job. You don't have to worry about dealing with customers. You're just back here doing your thing. You'll be great. Man, this is awesome. 1 o'clock, I'm out. I'm with my friends. We're going to do stuff. We're going out. Well, I didn't do the math that if you're going to be done by 1 o'clock, what time does that mean you have to start? And that was 5 a.m. Now, no college kid in their right mind wants to get anywhere by 5 a.m. And so that job did not last very long. Okay, I didn't do very well. But I learned a lot about the importance of kind of just, hey, working behind the scenes. And I think it's those three categories, kind of being upfront, kind of like I was as a host, or on the front lines like I was as a busboy, or behind the scenes working in a bakery. Those are the three areas that I think God calls us to radically serve in. I think those are the three categories that God is calling each and every one of us to find our place to radically serve, whether that's up front, whether that's on the front lines, or whether that's behind the scenes. And that's what we really see happening in Acts chapter 6. We see that concept of radical service. And if we want to live a life that is radically relational to God and radically relational to others, we must understand the concept of radical service. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to start again. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. You can pull it up on your phone or pull it in your Bible, or we'll have it up here. Acts 6, 1 through 7 says this. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, what is happening here is that the gospel now is spreading beyond Jerusalem. It's kind of gone from being local to being regional, and then it would become global. And so the church was growing. God's church was growing, and that was fantastic, and that was awesome. But in any organization, whether it be a church or a business, when you grow, sometimes you have growing pains. And the church was experiencing some growing pains. Specifically, there were two different languages being spoken, Hebrew and Aramaic. And sometimes when there's multiple languages being spoken in a context, whether that's a literal language or just a philosophical language, sometimes things fall through the cracks. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't anybody's problem, but that's what happened. And so what was happening is widows who were completely dependent on others in this culture were not receiving their daily food. And that just couldn't happen. Now understand, the early church was made up of primarily Jewish Christians, and so it was a tradition that you always took care of widows. Well, it's more than just a tradition. It's a command from God. If we look here at the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So this is a command of God that the church is called to take care of widows, people who couldn't help themselves. And so when this was brought to the apostles, they said, hey, this is something we got to deal with here. But see, the apostles understood their role. They understood their role in radical service to God. Their role was to serve up front. Their role was to preach and teach the word of God. Their role was to pray for people. They understood their role, and they knew that they just couldn't abandon that to go do this. It didn't mean that that wasn't important. It was very important to them, but they understood they couldn't do both things. They had to go where they were gifted and where they're called for radical service. And that's the same for each of us. We are all called into a form of radical service in the kingdom of God. For some people, it is up front. For some people, it's on the front lines. For some people, it's behind the scenes. But for all people, we're called to radically serve. So what do the apostles do? Because it was a radically relational church, they knew each other in this church, and they knew more than just each other's names. They knew each other's hearts. They knew each other's stories. They knew each other's passion for life. They knew each other's giftings in life, that they said, let's get everybody together and let's identify seven people that can go and take over this responsibility because it's important. See, when we become radically relational with each other and we know each other's stories and we know each other's hearts and we know each other's giftings, when there's an opportunity for service, we say, I know the perfect group of people that can do this because I know their passion. I know their heart. I know their story. I know this is their gifting. So we see how important it is to be radically relational because it gives us an opportunity to radically serve God. And so they were looking for men that were filled with the Holy Spirit and that had the wisdom to do the job. So they got the entire body of believers together and said, here is a great opportunity for us to radically serve. Who can we identify? And that is such a powerful, powerful message for us today. That we have to say, God, where are you calling us to serve? And who could fill this role? Who could do this job? And that's what the apostles did. And it's so important that we do that. Now, I know that study after study, and I even did some research on this, the number one fear of all people, if you had to pick the number one thing that most people are afraid of, what do you think it would be? Just shout it out. What's the one thing most people are afraid of?
Public speaking.
And you just did it, by the way, public speaking. So just so you know. And I mean, believe it or not, things on this list were zombies, clowns. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things. But still, number one, people are scared to death of speaking publicly. And that's okay. And you may be hearing this now and saying, look, I am not an upfront, radically serve kind of person. That's okay. Because there are so many ways to radically serve in the kingdom of God. Not everybody is called to radically serve up front and talk, and that's okay. But everybody's called to radically serve. And the reason that we know this is because Jesus told us this. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 20. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, I did not come here to be served. And if anybody deserves to be served, it's Jesus. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he says, I didn't come here to serve. I came here to serve other people. And see, we have to be radically relational with God and know what God's called us to. God has called us to radically serve others. In this case, it was the widows. Everybody's called to radically serve in the kingdom of God in one form or another. For some, it's up front and that's awesome. But for others, it's on the front lines. Now, we see that they chose seven men. They got everybody together, and they wanted to make sure that everybody understood. And they had four main characteristics that they looked for. Number one, be a believer in Christ. Two, have a good reputation. Number three, be spiritually grounded. And number four, have wisdom in this area. They looked for ways to say who could be best fitted to do this. Because, see, they needed people to take the food to the widows. They needed people that needed to be on the front line. Somebody who'd say, I am not an upfront speaker, but I can take food and I can deliver it every day to these widows. See, being on the front lines is a powerful ministry. You have an opportunity to be radically relational and radically serve people when you say, I can be a frontline person. I can take the food and I can deliver the food. See, the early church kind of had an unofficial mantra that they lived by. Every person a minister, every person a ministry. Let me say that again. Every person a minister, every person a ministry. See, we're all called to radically serve in some way or form. Some people are up front, and that's great. The apostles, They were good at speaking, teaching, praying, preaching, all those things. But we need people that can be on the front lines, people that can say, I can deliver the food. And if you've ever been a part of that ministry, to take someone who's hungry food, you know the impact that has. If you've ever been a part of a ministry that, especially this time of year when people are cold and you're able to go and give them a coat, you know how powerful that is. If you've ever been a part of visiting somebody who's lonely, you know how powerful that is. We're all called to serve. I'm so excited. We've got a group of folks going down to the Stevens Center on Tuesday to radically serve. And that's not an upfront kind of teaching, preaching ministry. That is a hands-on front lines. How can I deliver food? How can I do this? That is a powerful, powerful ministry. And I can tell you, I know the power of that ministry. When I first moved to Florida, I was not a Christian. I was very religious and I went to church and I was an intern and I did not get paid to be an intern. And for a long time, I didn't have a job and I didn't have a lot of money. And so I would go in and I would work in this office and I would say, you know, I don't have any food today. And that was just the reality of that. Well, one of the other interns heard that. So one night when I came back to my apartment, there were two bags of groceries in the front of my door. This person was a Christian. They weren't an upfront kind of talk it, preach it, teach it, but they were frontline. And they left me food at my front door. And can I tell you how impactful that was to me as somebody who wasn't a Christian, to somebody who was just religious and moral and trying to be good? I thought, man, Jesus is real. People really live for Jesus. They just don't go places on Sunday like I was doing. They live this thing and they put themselves out there and they were on the front lines and they brought me food. That helped me continue my journey into knowing who Jesus Christ was. Because somebody who never preached to me, who never talked to me, who never said anything, they were just willing to be on the front lines. That is such a powerful ministry. Everybody's called to radically serve. Maybe you're a radically upfront person. That's awesome. Do it. Maybe you're a radical frontline person that, hey, I can't talk or preach or teach it, but I can deliver it. Listen to what Scripture tells us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. We all have different gifts, every one of us. I can speak up front, but I cannot sing up front. I cannot play an instrument up front. I would scare you and the children if I tried. I'm grateful for those who have that gift to come up and sing and play an instrument. That's what makes God's kingdom so amazing, is we all are called to radically serve. We all have radically different gifts. That frontline service, the seats that you're sitting in, people on a frontline ministry set them up. The food that we come in and eat, people on the frontline ministry set that up. See, everybody's called to radical service in the kingdom of God. You may be an upfront person, you may be a behind, or you may be a frontline person, but you've got to find your place to radically serve in the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. One of the things that I always wanted to know about this text when I read it is the apostle said, we can't stop what we're doing to go wait on tables. I thought, oh, are these guys waiters? I've been a waiter. I've been a busboy. That sounds kind of cool. That's not what they're talking about. What they're saying is we can't do the administrative stuff. See, because remember, they were up front preaching, teaching, praying. Frontline people delivering the food. Well, what was left was the behind the scenes people. Who's going to coordinate all that? Who's going to say, here's where the houses are. Here's how much this widow gets. Here's what she likes. Here's what she doesn't like. There needs to be administrative help. That's behind the scenes. Those are the people that you never see because they're not up front. They're not on the front lines, but they're working behind the scenes to make everything go well. Without the behind the scenes people, it doesn't work. Now, when we read Acts chapter 6, this is where people say, oh, this is where the concept of deacons comes from. And that's true. But when you look at the word that's used here, it's diakoneo. And why that is significant is that means people who serve and fill a need. these people, these seven that were picked. And by the way, when you read through those seven names, you can say, well, I know Stephen's name. I've heard him before. And we're going to talk about him next week. Well, and I know Philip's name, but we don't know anything else about the other five, except this. They were willing servants. That's all you know about them. You don't know anything else except that they were willing to serve. This was a radically servant-oriented congregation. This was a radically relational congregation. That the congregation said, these seven people, they could do this ministry. They've got the gifting and the Holy Spirit on them because they knew each other. And those seven men, they were frontline people. And they did an amazing job, but we don't know anything about the five except they were willing servants. So it's not necessarily what we know about them. We know everything about them because we know their hearts. And so we see these behind-the-scenes people. They were willing to coordinate and facilitate and do all of the things, and it had such a powerful impact. A long time ago, I was a youth pastor. It was the first type of ministry that Christy and I were ever called in. And the church we were at, their slogan was the bread of life. That they were always going to proclaim the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And so whenever they would have a guest come to church, they would say, hey, if you're here for the first time, just kind of let us know. And there would be these wonderfully homemade mini loaves of bread to go along with the bread of life. And I mean, these things were good and they smell good. You tried to always say, this is my first time, even though you've been there like 6 years. You always kept trying to come back. And they were so good. And it helped people connect Bread of Life ministry, helped welcome people. It was this powerful ministry. People would always come back and say, oh, I love the welcoming that I got, and that bread was so good. And do you know that nobody knew who baked the bread? Nobody knew. It was a team of people. Some people that were retired, some people that were new moms, some people that were single, some people that were married. It was this behind-the-scenes ministry that nobody knew about and nobody talked about. But if it was such an essential part of who that church was and still is. See, because they wanted to radically serve people. And look, some people are going to radically serve by being up front and talking. That's great. If you've got that gift, do it. Some people are radically frontline servers. Man, I can deliver it. I can build it. I can set it up. Do it. And some people are radically behind-the-scenes server. Hey, I don't want anybody to know. I'm not comfortable doing this, but I can do this behind the scenes. A powerful ministry. And see, that's how the church grows. That's how the kingdom expands. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians. Listen to what Paul says here. He says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We are here to equip one another for works of service, radical service in the kingdom of God, up front, behind the scenes, on the front lines. Everyone is called, and so we're called to build each other up. And the leadership here, we're called to build each other up with opportunities to serve. Because if we want to have an impact in our community, we have to radically serve. And we've got to get everybody radically serving in one of those three areas, up front, on the front lines, or behind the scenes. Scripture again tells us in Romans 12, Paul says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give an encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Everybody in here has different giftings. And you may say, well, I don't have a gift. I'm sorry, but God's word tells us everybody's been given a gift. Everybody. And it may not be an upfront gift. That's okay. It may not be a frontline gift. That's okay. It may not be a behind-the-scenes gift. That's okay. But it's one of those three. And we have to find a way to plug in so that we can radically serve in the kingdom of God. And the whole point of doing that is to attract people to the truth of the gospel. And what was happening in this text, as we read here at the end, is people were being attracted to the Christian faith. First, Acts 2 tells us that the church already had this reputation of radically serving and radically reaching out and radically helping people. Well, the people that were coming, it says, were Jewish priests. Those who absolutely opposed Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ were now coming to Christ because they saw the radical service of the Christian faith, of the early church, whether it was up front, on the front lines, or behind the scenes. This group of people was radically serving, and it had a massive impact on the community. Now, that's what God's word says. And we talk today, we pray today, God, your word be in my mouth, beyond my lips, beyond my hands. And so we want to not just talk about this, we want to put this into action. We want to equip people to radically serve in the kingdom of God. And so we're really excited to kind of share with you today what that's going to look like. Christmas is not that far away. And our theme for Christmas is called The Star. I think we've got that graphic up. Our theme is going to be The Star, A Journey to Christmas. And we're going to talk about what it means to journey to Christmas, to find peace and hope and love as we move towards Christmas. Now, our outreach and our theme is going to be something called Random Acts of Christmas. And I want to explain what that is. You'll see over here, we've got two trees. On one tree, we've got these little ornaments, and on them are suggestions of something that you could do to radically serve a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student, somebody in your community. Buy somebody a cup of coffee, pay for somebody's meal, go decorate the outside of somebody's house, go visit somebody who's lonely. There's so many things, and what we want you to do is to look at these things, and if one of these things hits you, take it, do it, and when you come back, when it's completed, put it on this tree. You may have some ideas of your own. That is awesome. We have tags right here. Go do something that is a radically relational, random act of Christmas. Write it down, and then when you come back, place it on the empty tree. Our goal is to get each of us to get out and radically serve, to do a random act of Christmas. Whether that's an upfront act, whether that's a frontline act, or whether that's a behind-the-scenes act. Do it with your family. Do it with your kids. Do it with your life group. Do it with friends. Do it with people in the men's or women's ministry. But let's impact our community by doing random acts of Christmas. And everybody can do them. It doesn't matter. Again, we've got a ton of awesome suggestions, but you can also take it and just come up with something that's on your own. And look, we're going to be doing lots of other things. We're going to adopt families. We're going to ask you to come and bake cookies that we can kind of take to all the schools. We've been invited by the city to join them on November 26th as Santa comes to town, downtown Bennington, that we can come and sing Christmas carols. So lots of things that we're going to get you details. But this is our main act, random acts of Christmas, radically serving. Now, here's the cool thing that happens that ties all of this in and why we want to do it. Look at how verse 7 ends. They address this issue. The widows were getting the food. Verse 7 says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. When this congregation was radically serving, more and more people came to Christ. More and more, the number of disciples grew. We can have an impact in our community when we radically serve. I'm going to ask our music ministry to come back up. One way that we want to equip everyone to do that is we have a devotional for everybody. They'll be under the tree right there, and it's called The Star, A Journey to Christmas. Advent starts on the 26th. Take one per family. This is a great way to do a daily devotional with your family and kind of really dial in about radically serving and about journeying to Christmas. So I want to leave you with three questions, three things to really wrestle with in your life. Number one, are you an upfront radical server? Has God gifted you with the ability to do something upfront, to lead, to speak? Number two, are you a frontline radical server? Can you go on the front lines? Can you distribute food? Can you deliver things to people? Can you do different things? And number three, are you a behind-the-scenes radical server? Are you somebody that says, look, I don't want to be up front, I'm not a front line, but I can do stuff behind the scenes? Because when we all radically serve and are radically relational, the impact that we will be able to have on the community for the kingdom of God will be huge. I want to encourage you, after service, go get a devotional, go pick up one of the items that may be a way for you to radically serve. When you've done one, email us, post it on Facebook. We want the community to know that we are here to radically serve. Amen?